From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. Facebook shares closed at $38.23 at the end of the company's first trading day on Wall Street. As NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports, that's barely above the original share price.
The hype and interest surrounding Facebook's IPO was huge, and shares in the company opened at more than $42, an 11% premium over the IPO price. The stock briefly rose as high as $45, but then struggled to stay above the IPO figure. Facebook's underwriter stepped in to support the price and keep it from falling further. Still, Brian Solis, a principal analyst at the Altimeter Group, says,
I think that Facebook got what it wanted out of the IPO, which priced itself high at $38. But we also learned that investors aren't sure if they can, quote-unquote, like Facebook yet.
Indeed, some analysts and investors believe that its current valuation, more than $100 billion, is just too high, given its relatively small revenues and sizable expenditures. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
A federal appeals court has rejected an Alabama county's challenge to the 1965 Voting Rights Act. As NPR's Kerry Johnson reports, Shelby County officials opposed a provision requiring jurisdictions with a history of discrimination to get court permission before changing their election procedures.
Congress passed the voting rights law decades ago to protect the interests of minorities at the ballot box. Lawmakers reauthorized the measures only a few years ago. But the voting rights law has come under attack from conservatives who say it's outdated and unconstitutional because it gives the federal Justice Department power to pre-approve election changes in the states. Judge David Tatel, writing for the majority of the court, says the voting rights law passes constitutional scrutiny. Legal experts expect the Shelby County case or another similar lawsuit to make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Kerry Johnson, NPR News.
Prosecutors in the Roger Clemens perjury trial have suffered a serious blow. As NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, their star witness Brian McNamee testified Friday that the needles and cotton balls he gave to investigators were used on several players, not just Clemens.
McNamee has testified that he retrieved the material from Clemens' apartment after injecting him with steroids one night in 2001, that he put the material in a beer can and kept it for 7 years before turning it over to investigators. But on Friday, McNamee said for the first time he put other needles and cotton swabs in the beer can that night from other players. When defense lawyer Rusty Hardin asked if McNamee had ever disclosed that before, McNamee replied, "It's never been asked that way before." Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
G8 leaders meeting at Camp David agree that Iran must prove its nuclear program is meant for peaceful purposes. They're also discussing an international response to the violence in Syria. This is NPR News. A retired Columbia University psychiatrist is apologizing for a decade-old study that concluded that some gay people can become heterosexual through therapy. Dr. Robert Spitzer says he now believes there is no way to verify statements by 200 study subjects claiming some degree of change in their orientation. Spitzer's study made headlines in 2001 when he presented the findings to the American Psychiatric Association. A California-based company is poised to make what could be the first mission to the International Space Station by a private spacecraft. NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports that a rocket with an unmanned capsule is on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral with a launch opportunity at 4:55 a.m. Eastern Time.
So far, the weather is looking good for the launch of the Falcon 9 rocket. SpaceX is hoping to send its Dragon capsule up with food and supplies. If the capsule can successfully perform a series of maneuvers, NASA could give it permission to approach the space station and dock early next week. But the first challenge is just getting to orbit. Gwynne Shotwell is the president of SpaceX.
I'm going to give myself better than a 50-50 shot of lifting off tomorrow. And if we lift off, I believe we will get to orbit.
If glitches or delays make SpaceX miss this launch window, they could try again on Tuesday. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
San Diego police say an implanted heart defibrillator may have saved the life of a man stabbed in the chest during an argument. Authorities say the knife hit the defibrillator instead of the 57-year-old man's heart. The victim's name has not been released. His attacker, 60-year-old Richard Kiley, is being held on suspicion of attempted murder. I'm Shay Stevens, NPR News, in Washington.